Hey, Jedi Masters. I mean, movie lovers. I'm Maria.
And I'm Sam.
Welcome to Unsolicited Flick Picks.
Movie reviews no one asked for. Hey!
Today's flick pick is Star Wars!
A New Hope.
That's right. Not every movie we review is a bad movie. This 1977 blockbuster hit was the first Star Wars released and the fourth episode entitled A New Hope. We watched this movie together, which we don't always do.
Yeah.
But Sam felt I would need some hand-holding for this one.
She needed some supervision. Now, Star Wars is very near and dear to my heart. I am a huge fan. Everyone knows this about me. Like, it's super cute. So many of my friends have gotten me, like, little gifts, just, like, because gifts. And they've all been Darth Vader themed. It's super cute. Some of my favorites are my Darth Vader pen that has four colors.
Oh, nice.
Two of my friends bought me this at a gas station, literally in the middle of nowhere. In the middle, like, rural New Brunswick.
That's too funny. What a find.
I know. And then another friend bought me a amazing Darth Vader head mug that I literally drink coffee from every single day.
I can't say I've ever bought you a Star Wars related gift.
And now you know.
Now I know. Remember.
So let's get into it. First of all, Maria's brand new to this. She has not seen a full Star Wars movie.
Fact. And movies like this with a bunch of crazy, like, set stuff going on make it really difficult for me to listen to the dialogue.
Yeah.
So this is why I usually just stop watching, because I get too distracted. I get lost. And I also have no context or pretense for the story, because it's all just, like, made up crazy business. So I can't even sort of put two and two together, and I needed to hold my hand. So it felt very much like homework watching the movie.
Right.
And haters, just feel free to send me all your hate mail. I will not read it.
We've discovered a pro tip to help with movies such as this is to watch them with the subtitles on.
Yes, that did help a lot.
Yeah. The way all these movies start is with black screen with the words, "a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away." And that kind of lingers until you hear, "Bruh!" And then Star Wars appears on the screen. And, like, just that noise is so, I don't know, it hypes me right up. Like, I remember going to see the, like, sequel trilogy and, like, just sitting in the theater. And then it's, like, so loud and it's amazing. And then kind of unique to Star Wars is the opening crawl, when you see this kind of backstory information. It's basically just stuff that, you know, backstory and kind of like to explain almost like the scenes that they don't really want to film. Like kind of the boring, like, political, like, what's the state of the world kind of thing. So they put it in the opening crawl. So you just read it and you don't have to waste time watching it. So the first scene, we see a large ship. On board is the evil Empire, who is searching for the plans for their new weapon. But Leia had smuggled these plans away. And right away, we have to say RIP to the wonderful Carrie Fisher. I remember hearing the news that Carrie Fisher died, and I was at work. And my boss is, like, walking by me, and I have to pretend like I wasn't just getting very emotional about Carrie Fisher dying. I was like, I'm okay, Mark. It's fine. What can I say? I wear my heart on my sleeve.
You do.
I do. So enter the wonderful Darth Vader. Excuse me while I gush, but I love Darth Vader very, very much. He is my favorite Star Wars character ever.
Even though he's the bad guy.
Even though he's the bad guy.
All
right. Let's just say he wasn't always a bad guy. R2-D2 and C-3PO, who have the plans, escape in an escape pod. And we see the Empire go, "Oh, I should shoot that, right?" And his officer goes, "No, it's fine. There's no life on it." Meanwhile, if they had just shot that down, the entire movie doesn't happen. and the bad guys win.
Oh, that would have been a quick movie.
Would have been a real quick movie.
I'd like to see that version.
Yeah, that's like the Maria edit. they escape and they head to Tatooine. And Tatooine is a desert planet. They get separated from each other. They kind of have a bit of an argument, even though they are robots. They get into an argument. They both get captured by the Jawas, who are like little tinkerers. They're like scrap collectors, and then they go and sell their scraps to people. So Luke ends up buying both of them. And here is where enter our hero, young farm boy, Luke Skywalker. Just a young, he's got a boyish charm.
He does. He's just a little entitled. A little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, he's definitely like a teen. A little bit angst there. But now that he has R2, he has the plans for the Death Star that could bring down the Empire. So Luke sees a hologram of Leia who's requesting for help in her situation. And he thinks she's a real hottie. And immediately he's like, yeah, I could help her. What Luke doesn't know is that this is his sister.
What?
So Luke and Leia are brother and sister.
Of course they are.
Yes.
I think I've heard that before.
Okay, it's all making sense now.
So they're all Darth Vaders.
Yeah, they're twins.
They're twins?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
She seems so much older than him.
Yeah.
And more mature.
She grew up as a senator.
Right.
I don't know.
She's important.
She's in politics. She's basically the galaxy's AOC.
Got you.
Yeah.
And Luke's just a little farm boy. Hasn't left Tetaton.
Yeah.
Tatooine. Tatooine.
Tatooine.
Tatooine.
Amazing. So she's asking for the help of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and obviously Luke is like, oh, they must mean old Ben Kenobi. Gotta be the same guy. So they go off to find old Ben. And in this next part is like one of my favorite scenes from Star Wars. It's called Binary Sunset. And, like, the music in it is so great, and it's just, like, Luke looking off into the sunset, and there's two suns on Tatooine.
Sunset.
Yeah. I love it so much. It's my reaction, like, anytime I'm looking at a sunset, I'm like, I'm Luke from Star Wars. I get that music in my head. So, they do finally find Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, Obi-Wan Kenobi has entered the chat. They reminisce about the good old days, the Clone Wars, and Obi-Wan gives Luke his father's lightsaber, which is, as we know, is the most powerful weapon of the galaxy.
Oh.
Yeah.
We didn't know that.
We didn't know that. Obi-Wan receives the full transmission of Leia's request. They have to deliver the plans to her. Luke reluctantly agrees to help, and they are off. But not before we see Luke's aunt and uncle's burning skeletons. Gets dark really quick. Because they're after these, the Empire's after these plans too. So they go and they find out that that's where Luke lives and set the place on fire.
They got the wrong guys.
Meanwhile, Leia's like straight up getting tortured. She's in the captivity of Darth Vader. There's this like floating little sphere droid. And it's got like arms sticking out of it with like different things. And then they like hold up a giant needle. It's just Pfizer. She's just getting the jab.
She goes, wait, what brand?
Is this gonna give me a blood clot? Back on Tatooine, we see a couple very famous scenes. There's the Jedi mind trick scene where Obi-Wan has his famous, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Which is something that I did kind of have to explain a little bit because All you do is see him wave his hand, and then they repeat the thing that he just said. So, like, if you didn't know that it was, like, a mind trick, you wouldn't really know.
No, I didn't.
I did have to explain it, so that's kind of weird. It's not all things make sense, and you kind of just have to, like, know it before you know it. We have the famous cantina scene. With the amazing Cantina band, with their wonderful
little jig song.
It
love
actually
it.
Looks like a really good time.
Yeah.
I feel like this is somewhere I would hang out and have a few beverages.
Yeah.
People watch. Yeah. Watch.
Certainly. I implore you to pause and take a look at some of the characters in the background. The Cantina Band are kind of like this weird, like, you know, the like typical alien shaped head where it's like big forehead and big eyes. They kind of look like that. There's like a guy that looks like a Yeti, a guy that looks like his balls on his face. Oh, and Satan, just a guy dressed exactly like Satan. So yeah, totally looks like a good time until one guy gets his arm cut off by a lightsaber and then Greedo gets murdered in cold blood. While this part was happening, my husband had to pop in and give us a fun fact that in the original, like, first draft of this movie that, like, came out in 1977, Greedo doesn't even shoot at all, because they shoot at the same time, edited it in that Greedo shoots also to make Han not seem like a bad guy, because people, like, ended up really, like, liking Han and, like, thinking that he's a good guy. And so they kind of had to, like, make it seem like he wasn't such a bad guy. Because they were shooting at the same time. It was a standoff.
Huh.
But then, for some reason, only on Disney Plus, they have... Greedo have just, like... He just says one word. He says, McClunky?
McClunky.
McClunky?
As he's getting shot.
Which I have no idea why. So, whatever.
Yeah, Trevor didn't have an explanation.
Yeah.
He just said the fact.
Yeah.
The fact.
No why. So Obi-Wan and Luke meet up with Han Solo, heartthrob of a generation, murderer, and they hire him because he is a very shady smuggling pilot, but he's damn good at what he does, and he's the bad boy, gives zero Fs kind of attitude, you know the type.
I like the type.
I like the type.
Very calm, cool, collected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's in it for himself. He takes them to the Millennium Falcon, which we all see for the first time. And it's like, whoa, look at this ship. And then Luke just goes, wow, hunk of junk. And Han says something like, well, she's got it where it counts. Yeah, same.
That confused me because it didn't actually look like a hunk of junk.
No. I mean, I've seen a hunk of junk driving down University Avenue, but...
Yeah, it looked like a fine ship.
Yeah. Unfortunately, next we see Alderaan get blown up. So the Empire's no joke. They just killed millions of people. But I guess just a day in the life of the Empire. Back on the Millennium Falcon, Luke is training to be a Jedi. It's kind of seen as like a hokey religion.
I really like this training scene.
It could have been better. Like, it could have been a montage.
Oh, a montage.
Yeah.
More of it would have been good.
But the thing is that he doesn't really get really good.
Right.
Right away?
Not yet.
It'd
have to be a montage over, like,
three movies. Yeah.
So the one quote that I really liked was when Obi-Wan is training Luke and he says, the Force controls your emotions and also obeys your commands.
Whoa.
I made a few different parallels there.
Ah.
To what the Force is.
Yeah.
You know, and the way he says, let go your conscious self, reminds me of my old yoga teacher. She's a bit of a guru in how she spoke, let go the thoughts of the day. It's very, you know, guru-esque.
Maybe she's a Jedi.
I kind of wonder. Damn, are you a Jedi? Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
So, okay, you guys, I've made it pretty clear I'm not a huge science fiction fan. And so this movie was not necessarily on my alley, but I've got to tell you, the special effects are, I mean, this is stating the obvious, but the special effects are why this movie is so famous.
It's like,
is it
not?
It's got to be.
Not why it's so famous. It's like, I think people just really liked the story. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the special effects were.
I think they were definitely state of the art when they came out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the space scenes when they're, like, flying the starships in space. I really like how it's a very sort of calm, like, friendly, happy scene in space where they're in control. And I feel like the other space movies I've watched in the past were more, like, thriller types where people are on broken, you know, rocket ships. And it's just very stressful and scary.
Yeah, it's, like, it's Most have very existential dread. Yes, like, it's word. Like, oh, I'm going to float around in space forever. Yeah. Or, like, I'm going into a black hole. I don't know where it goes.
It's like, so scary.
Yeah. Or, like, I flew up to a galaxy that's so far away, I can't find my way back. Yeah.
Yet I'm stuck here alive.
There's a lot of existential dread when it comes to sci-fi. I totally understand that.
But Star Wars had none of that.
No, definitely not. So after the scene, we get a couple pretty iconic quotes between "That's no moon" and "I have a bad feeling about this." Just classic. And I remember when I was watching it for the first time, I was like, finally, I get all of these references. Because I'm like a somewhat new fan. Like, it's been a long time now, but like, I didn't really watch them as a kid. I was like an adult when I hopped on board. So the Millennium Falcon is taken in by the Death Star, and they get to do this like classic TV movie trope of luring the bad guys in somewhere and then like knocking them over the head and stealing their uniforms. Like, you see that in like cartoons and stuff, and I love it every single time. It never fails to make me laugh. I also love that so many times this high-tech robot basically, like, connects to things, and it looks like an electric screwdriver, which I'm pretty sure it is. All of these, like, practical effects, it's like, if it looks like a screwdriver, it probably is.
If it looks like a garbage can.
It is. So, Home Depot robot finds Princess Leia, and she is scheduled to be terminated. Luke cannot let this happen without shooting his shot with her.
And Han's here just really not giving a shit, channeling a great vibe, very laissez-faire attitude, but totally confident that the whole thing's going to be just fine.
Yeah. So Han and Luke are now undercover as stormtroopers to save Leia. Luke finally finds her, and in true bad bitch fashion, she goes, "Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?" Like, she's been captured, tortured, is being sent to execution, and, like, she still, like, insults the stormtroopers. She insults her captors. I love it. And she knows her way around a blaster gun. She is not a damsel by any means. She can hold her own, and she fights her way out just as much as Han and Luke. And we are starting to see sort of a understanding between Han and Leia, because they both love to insult everyone and talk so much smack, like they can't even spit out a sentence without insulting someone who is their friend.
A little bit of banter they have.
Yeah.
A little glimmer of a flirtation.
Ooh, maybe, perhaps.
I'm just sitting here waiting for a love scene, and I don't know that I'm going to get it.
Not ever, really. Ugh. Yeah, it's a little PG. They end up having to make their escape into a garbage chute, in which there is a water snake monster. And sidebar, this is one of the reasons why I love Star Wars so much. This little creature has been in the movie for like 30 seconds, but if you look him up, he has a name, he has a backstory. They do like stats about what this creature is and like features of this species. It's crazy. It's super crazy. And so they are in this garbage chute, and a turn of events that cartoons growing up made me believe that someday might happen to me. The walls start coming together and they're eventually going to be crushed. I remember watching cartoons and this would happen and being like, okay, what's my strategy? What do I do when this inevitably happens to me? It's like quicksand. It was always such a big problem in cartoons. Never seen it.
Getting caught in the elevator door.
Yeah. They do make a narrow escape, but just in time to blast their way to the exit and witness Obi-Wan and Darth Vader duel it out. Imagine, like, two 80-year-old men fighting to the death. Excitement.
So Darth Vader's, like, 80 years old?
Both, he might be 70, but he's
older.
Sorry. And he's an older man. Mm-hmm. There is definitely some tension between these two because they used to be bros. And if anyone watched Clone Wars, it really develops that friendship. So you don't know it yet, but this is very significant that these two are fighting, and pretty sad. They're best friends turned enemies.
Sad.
Some people do take up issue with this, and it like can be explained away, but Obi-Wan sort of just gives up and is struck by Vader and seemingly just disappears. And if I didn't know, I would have thought that it was just a trick, that he just used a Jedi trick to get away.
That's what I thought.
But he is, in fact, dead. So the rebels escape. They get to read the plan, and they find out there is one small flaw in the Death Star. They shoot just right. It'll go down the right tube, and it will explode. So this has kind of been, like, the butt of the joke for decades. Like, people would like, make jokes about, oh, this guy can build, like, a giant Death Star, but one little tube goes right to, the like, the main engine, and it'll just explode. So Star Wars kind of explains this one. So they have the movie called Rogue One, which is the in between 3 and 4. So, like, in between the two generations, you know? That's when it takes place. It takes place, all of the actions that happen directly leading up to this. So much that, like, the last scene in Rogue One is the first scene in A New Hope. Blends seamlessly. Like, you could watch them as one very long movie.
Clever. They really love making these movies.
They really do. They like making billions of dollars just on the movies, and that's not counting, like, the merch. So they explained that the guy that made the Death Star was being forced to do it, so he put in, like, a secret way of destroying it. So in hopes that someone would find it, and they
do. That's pretty passive-aggressive, isn't it?
Right? It's like you hate your employer that much.
Yeah.
You take down the corporation. So they set out to, you know, make this one perfect shot. And, Han is out of there. He has done his job. So he's got to just go take care of himself. So lucky Luke has no competition for Leia. So, and she even gives him a kiss on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they're siblings. Here's when things get sticky. They are trying to make this shot. They are also getting attacked by the Empire. But Han comes back and saves the day.
Yay.
And then Luke is able to make the shot with the help of the Force.
Oh.
He kind of shoots, and then he allows the Force to make it go in the right place.
To be with him.
Yes. And the Death Star explodes, but it's okay. Darth Vader makes it away safely.
Sneaky old man.
All is well. Luke and Han are honored as heroes. They're given medals by Leia and all that. But Chewie doesn't get a medal. And I was going to point this out when we were watching it, that he's just standing on the back, like, fuck my drag, right? And, like, he gets nothing. He's just standing right behind Han, and they're, like, celebrating the other two, the two white men.
Okay, well, I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for this, but is he not more of, like, a pet?
That would be true if he was not the co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon.
Okay, a pet that can drive.
I mean, if my dog that's sitting right there could drive my car and, like, helped me save, like, a child from getting hit by a bus, I would hope that she would be honored by that task as well. She's helping me.
Oh, you're right.
That analogy is not right. I don't know how us driving would help a little girl.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know what life's going to throw
you. Got a medal.
Chewie should have got a medal. And we did it. The gang will be back in Empire Strikes Back. And you made it through with Star Wars.
I did.
Okay, we've got to get into your overall thoughts.
Okay, I hate to say this, but I really just wanted it to be over most of the time we were watching it. I just rather would have been sitting here chatting with you.
Of course.
It's just action, science fiction, all male / robot / creature casts just really aren't my jam. Of course, there were many, many redeeming qualities and I can totally see why this is such a huge hit. It's just not for me personally.
Uh-huh. That's okay.
Yeah. And I will report back to my husband on this because Mitch was slightly offended that I was coming here to watch Star Wars with you, Sam, because he has tried and tried to get me to watch this like so many times. And any of them, really.
Yeah.
And now that they're on Disney Plus as of late.
Yeah.
But I feel better now that I can reassure him that it's not personal. I just knew in my heart, like, watching Star Wars is not how I want to spend my time.
And that's fair.
Yeah. So, but for this podcast, I will not be lured into this galaxy.
All right. She'll exit gracefully. But I am very grateful that you stuck it out.
Of course.
Not that I would have let you fall asleep, but I think had I told you to go home and watch it, you might have fallen asleep.
It's possible.
Or just shut it off.
This is the type of movie I sleep through.
Yeah. I am just through and through a Star Wars fan. I just love it all. I love the story, the characters, the backstories, action. I just love it all. And I love the culture around it. So what can I say?
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't have to say anything. I just have to look behind me to the cross-stitched Darth Vader wall hanging. For those of you listening, you obviously can't see it, but maybe we'll
maybe I'll post a picture on the Instagram.
Yeah, find us.
I also have, in this room, I have a speaker that's shaped like the Death Star. And that too. I'm sure if we look around more, there's more Star Wars stuff throughout my house, but. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a real fan.
Big fan.
Okay, so really quick, I have to rank my Star Wars movies in order of my favorite to least favorite. Here it goes. 4, 5, 3, 6, 1, 2, 7, 8, 9. The sequel trilogies were not my favorites, we'll say.
Right.
But an honorable mention has to go to Rogue One. I really loved it. I said this before. The Darth Vader scene literally gives me heart palpitations. It's so good. It's so good to see Vader in his prime just blasting through rebels, like just tears them. It's like a hot knife through butter. It's amazing. I have to talk more about this scene.
Okay.
It starts with just a black hallway. And it's silent, and then you just hear his breathing, and then his lightsaber lights up, and it's, I nearly fell to the floor afterwards. It's just so good. So, that's a little bit about me and my psyche. Maybe let's not examine that too much.
Okay.
Big shout out to the special effects department. That's kind of a huge part of why this is just so great, is because they have so many practical effects and very little CGI, like, and not even counting the stuff that they added in like maybe 10-15 years ago. I think they added it in whenever the prequel trilogy was coming out, so it was like bad CGI, and it looks really wrong in some of the scenes. So
and yeah, the lightsabers look kind of bad. But it was 1977. Cut them some slack. We're lucky they weren't using pool noodles.
So, and I feel like all the sets are, like, more real, too. I don't know what makes me think that, but there's a lot of movies that, like, if someone's, like, coming down the stairs of, like, a really beautiful house, they'll just build the stairs and then do a green screen behind them. Uh-huh. Like, if the scene doesn't mean for them to, like, walk into the house and they just need to, like, be on the steps, sometimes they'll just build the steps and then CGI the house behind them. They did that in The Great Gatsby, like, the newest one.
Oh.
They didn't really build all of his, like, exterior. So.
Yeah, it all looks...
It all just looks good.
Really great.
Another huge part of it is the soundtrack and the score done by the incomparable, brilliant John Williams, who, you may ask,
who
don't worry, that? Maria, let me tell you. Maybe you're familiar with some of his other work. Ever heard of Indiana Jones?
Uh-huh.
Jaws?
Uh-huh.
E.T.? He did that.
There's some classic scores.
Jurassic Park. That one's one of my favorites. The part where it's like, welcome to Jurassic Park. And it goes in the like theme song. I love that. And Harry Potter.
Harry Potter?
He does all of the score for Harry Potter. So that like little... Dun, 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 yeah. He made that. He's amazing.
Really is amazing.
He's brilliant. He's like created some of the best movie themes of all time. I want to say he also did Home Alone. He did a lot of like the just amazing movies. And so, yeah, I said I was really sad when Carrie Fisher died, but I don't even want to think about the day when John Williams dies because I'm really going to miss like what he gives the world. Just no one else is like him. Like, yeah, there's a lot of other really great composers. He's just so classic. Mm. Like,
amazing. Clearly, we love him.
Oh, love him. Okay, another big thing that always is important to me in movies is the fashion.
The fashion.
Star Wars is very fashionable. We what? See a lot of long draping robes, but cinched in at the waist, give you a figure, works on many body types. It's given us the famous Leia hooded white dress and the side buns.
Her dress was...
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of the movie. Also, Luke's white robe in the very beginning.
It's a little martial arts student, but it's fine.
Yes, yeah, it's student-like.
Yeah. And if we're, I mean, if we're talking about Star Wars clothing, I do have, like, several Star Wars, like, t-shirts. I have dressed up for Halloween as several Star Wars characters. I did a homemade Princess Leia, which I made the dress and then did my hair, which was actually for my birthday party. I had a costume party. And if I remember correctly, Maria was dressed up as Regina George, and it was amazing.
I'm trying to remember this part.
It was the outfit with the holes in the tank top. You can see the bra through. I'll post a picture of that on our Instagram, because I have a picture of that.
Where was the party?
It was at my house.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was so good. Oh. So then I also was dressed as Darth Vader. And I got a little bit too drunk, but stayed in character the whole time. And I met a girl dressed as Princess Leia, and I was really mean to her.
Because you were in character?
Yes, I was in... I was Darth Vader, and that's my daughter, who, at the time, in my mind, I was episode 4 Darth Vader. That doesn't really care if Leia dies or not. Yeah, I pretended to do the Force choke on her. Which I'm sure she thought, maybe people thought was funny the first time, but I think I stepped too far. I'm not a psychopath, I promise. I just like to take things to just that next level. I commit to the bit. And then lastly, I was Boba Fett, and I got tired of wearing my full helmet. So I flipped it over and it was a candy bowl.
I love you so much. Oh, man. Yeah, I can say for certainty that I've never dressed up as a Star Wars character. No. In fact, until today, I really didn't know who was who.
Yeah.
Now I do.
That's good. So that's great. I hope you enjoyed Baby's first Star Wars. It's been fun to mentor the future generation. We will be back next week for another great movie adventure.
And don't forget to find us on Instagram.
For said pictures of all my Star Wars merch and a fun costume photo of me and Maria.
Yeah, you'll get to see my bra, you guys. you'll find us at Unsolicited Flick Picks Podcast.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.